Good morning.
Good morning.
I know life. Oops, said that. When I've been pondering God, this is really weird because you're all like this. When I've been pondering God this week about sharing, He's told me to share my story with you. And it will evolve where we're going, bearing in mind we've been looking at our mindsets, our belief systems, and how our emotions affect us. Hopefully it will make sense as time goes on. So for some of you who've heard some of this before, I kind of apologise, but hopefully God will talk to you about something along the way. And for the rest of you, I really feel this is what God has said. So I'm going to just start by saying I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were Christians. We always went to church. It was quite a strict Christian upbringing, and I think that's probably the problem. As we've been looking over the last years, really, about religion and relationship with God and the constraints that religion put on us and how that causes us to view God in a wrong way, I think that probably sums me up perfectly, really. So I went along with everything, but it was very much rules. It was more to do with what I couldn't do than who God was. Couldn't do this, couldn't do that, wouldn't allow this. I did have an opinion, I think, that I had to please God to earn His love. I did think I strived, I tried to perform, I tried to do all the right things. I think I thought that God would be really angry with me if I did something wrong. I was quite fearful in my relationship with God. At one point in time, there was I don't know if you call it a horrible movement or just religious things, really, that I used to be afraid that Jesus would come back and leave me behind. And so a lot of my relationship was fear-based. There was a teaching around that Jesus was going to come suddenly and take everybody that loved him and leave everyone else behind. And I think because it was religious in essence, if I couldn't see a child, I would panic and think that Jesus had come and he'd left me behind, because I knew he wouldn't leave children behind. So if I could see a child, I would be okay. So it kind of tells you a little bit of where I was. I didn't have an awful lot of life in my relationship with God. It was very much fear-based, superstitious. I was brought up to believe that you read your Bible and you prayed every day, which I'm not saying any of those things are not a good thing to do, but it motivated and drove me. So in the morning before I got up, I had to do my reading, my daily reading, so that God would look after me that day, because if I didn't, then he might not. So it became like a superstition that I had to do certain things. Now, underneath it all, I did believe in God. I did believe in Jesus. I did have a relationship with God, but it wasn't intimacy. It wasn't unconditional. It wasn't the love that we now know that God is. So I trundled along until my sort of late teenage years, and I thought, I've had enough of this. There's more to life than this, thought I. So then I began my own journey, and I completely rebelled against everything that I knew to be true. And no, I didn't not believe in God. I always believed in God. I always believed in Jesus. I always knew they were true. I just decided it wasn't for me anymore. Thank you very much. So then I entered about 5 years of I did my own thing totally, and I wasn't a very nice person. I was very rebellious, and I hurt an awful lot of people. I was married at that time, and during that time, I had two children. I just did my own thing. I had the truth in me, but I chose to ignore it, and I chose to go my own way. And the interesting thing is, when you know the truth, when you know right from wrong, we have a conscience. And our conscience pricks us and says, that's probably not a good idea. You probably didn't ought to be doing that. And we have a choice. We can either say, no, that's right, I won't, I will not go that route. Or we can choose to ignore that little voice on the inside of us that we all have. And then the next time something happens, it's easier to ignore that little voice on the inside. And it takes you places, I think, that you never imagined you would end up in when you just ignore what you know to be true on the inside. And that was me. My conscience became dulled. I became a big hypocrite, a deceiver. I lived two lives. I lived a life that on one hand, nobody knew what was going on in me. I was married. I was still going to church. I had two children. Everything on the surface, on the outside, would have appeared one way. But actually, the reality was
not true. My actual life was totally different. And this went on for a long time. During this period of time, we moved house, and Mike became friendly with somebody that he'd known at school who'd become a Christian and had a really dramatic encounter with God. And this is Mike's journey, where he started really encountering God in a new way, and he started pursuing deeper things of God, which used to drive me mad. I did not want this. I did not want any part of it. But this friend of Mike's, he was amazing. He was a good friend of mine as well. But he used to really annoy me, because whenever he came in our house, he was so excited about what God had done in his life. He was so excited about Jesus. That's all he wanted to talk about. And in the end, I said to him, if you come here, you don't talk about Jesus. You're not coming in my house and talking about Jesus. So needless to say, this group of friends were all praying for me, obviously, for quite some time, realizing that I wasn't pursuing God in any way, shape or form. And they used to invite me around, and I used to occasionally go and meet up with them, and I would sit there and I would make my shopping lists, and I would think, what am I going to do tomorrow? And I would not join in at all. But I knew that praying worked. I knew that God was real, and it really wound me up, because I knew that they were praying for me, and I did not want them to be doing that. Well, one day, this guy's wife, it was her birthday, and they said to me, would you like to come round and maybe you could make a cake? Bring it around and we'll just have some time together. I'm like, okay, all right then. So I made a nice cake and I went around, and when I got there, everybody that was in the house group was there. So I felt immediately duped. I was so cross. I was really cross. Because then they were, well, seeing as we're all here, why don't we just have our house group meeting? By now, I was absolutely furious. And I'm like, you tricked me. And they're like, no. This is just what we do. You can just have your cake. You can do whatever you want to do. So they got on and they just sang and they were praying. And they were just, you know, I was completely not part of what was going on. But then I was aware of this really weird feeling, and I could feel myself kind of shaking, which was very strange. And this voice said to me, I love you, you're mine, and I want you back. And I'm like, what? And it kept going over in my mind, and my heart started to pound, and I love you, you're mine, and I want you back. Well, I realized that this must have been God. And I'm like, well, I don't want you, so go away. And it came on, and it increased in intensity. And I could feel myself starting to shake even more. And what I now realize, but I didn't realize at the time, was my spirit, obviously, which had been connected to God, was crying out for this reconnection to be established where I'd said no. But my soul, that part of me, which had said, I'm going to do my own thing, thank you very much, was like, not a chance. So on the inside of me, there was this huge tussle. And what I wanted to do from the very depths of my being was to cry out to God, because I desperately wanted to know God in a real way. But my soul was like, not having a bar of this, thank you very much. And there was the battle between my soul and my spirit. And what I did was I ended up sitting in a seat, shaking profusely, trying to stop myself responding with my hands over my mouth like this. Because that's where I was at. God was calling me home, and I was so stubborn and so independent, I was desperately trying not to. So I was keeping my mouth together with my hands. And all of a sudden, again, looking back afterwards, what I now believe to be true, I believe an angel came and just moved my hands out of the way. And I cried, God, I am so sorry, please forgive me. And I just broke. I was in hysteria then. I just broke from the depths of my being. And everybody who'd been praying for me all this time just went, ah, now what do we do? Because I was just this wreck that God had broken in on. And something happened on the inside of me that transformed my life. It changed my life completely, because I met Jesus and I met God. Now, I didn't know it like I know it now, that that's what had happened to me, but I experienced that God loved me. He wanted me back. And I was transformed in many ways. I was different from that time forward. There were aspects of my life which changed like that. There were some things which did not change like that, which I was in a process of transformation. But there was a dramatic change in me. They used to call me the Ready Brett girl. For those of you who are old enough to know, there was an advert on the telly, and if you had Ready Brett, you had this glow around you because you sent your kids to school with a Ready Brett glow. But they called me the Ready Brett girl because something had happened on the inside of me, and I glowed, and I felt on the inside that a bottle had been uncorked, and I had all this bubbles and excitement, and I was just a completely different person, which was really great. And there began my new journey with God. But, and there is a but, my belief system and my emotions didn't actually change because of where I'd been, because of everything that I'd done, and because I knew truth and had chosen to walk away from it and live a life of hypocrisy and deception, I was tormented because I didn't know it at that time, but I continued to live in guilt, condemnation and shame. And even though I'd had an incredible encounter with God, my belief system was still of that nature. I didn't deserve forgiveness. I wasn't worthy. I knew God loved me, but it was how I saw myself. I still had that belief system on the inside of me, and I lived in torment. I was tormented. I didn't realize. I thought it was normal and natural. But every time I tried to move forward, every time someone would ask me to do something, I would get, who do you think you are? After what you did, who do you think you are? God doesn't love you. God can't use you. You're a hypocrite. If you stand up there, people will see right through you. They'll know everything that you did. And those were the things. My life was just one constant stream of torment. Call yourself a Christian after what you did. And that's where I lived for many years. I didn't know that. But any time God asked me to do something, I would discount myself. And any time any person would ask me, I would immediately say, I can't do that. Not because I wasn't able to, but because I was unworthy. Because I was dirty, filthy, and I needed to be discounted. Now, one day, I had a revelation of this. You know, dong. I could speak about forgiveness, I could talk about all of these things, but for myself, inside, there was a core belief that was still robbing me of what God had done in my life. And I realized that I hadn't forgiven myself for what I'd done. And I knew that God had forgiven me, but I actually hadn't forgiven myself because I didn't deserve it, because I'd hurt a lot of people through what I had done. So the accusations or these voices from the enemy, they had a legal right to bombard me because I agreed with them. I partnered with them. I'd made peace with them. I believed them. I didn't deserve forgiveness. Now, if you know God, we know that God's love is unconditional and forgiveness is complete because this is what Jesus did. Forgiveness is done and dusted. No one doesn't fit into that criteria, which is sometimes hard for us when we think of the things that people do, but God is God and forgiveness is done. But I was the one person that it didn't work for. I was the one person that couldn't be forgiven. I was the one person who didn't deserve it. And I'm thinking that maybe somebody here is probably thinking the same about themselves. What I need to tell you is it's a big fat lie, because God's love is for us to completely transform, restore, and renew us. It's got nothing to do with me deserving it. It's about God and what he did and what Jesus did. So in my mind, I'd categorized sin, and because I knew better, I'd brought myself out of that whole forgiveness. And it's a classic tactic of the enemy for all of us where we are in our lives. And sometimes we do things and we feel we're unforgivable. We feel we may need to pay a penance. We feel we need to be punished. We feel we shouldn't get away with things. The bottom line is we don't get away with anything with God because he deals with it in a just manner. But we don't need to stay where we've been in the past. It was just my religious thinking. You know, I need to flagellate myself. I need to beat myself. I need to make myself feel bad. It's a lie. I don't deserve to be happy after what I've done. It was a thing. I don't deserve this. But Doing something bad doesn't make us a bad person. That's our behaviour. And where we need to come to is our identity is a child of God. That's how God sees us. We can deal with those things that we have done. But I needed to live and understand and get a new belief system that I was a forgiven child of God so that I could move forward. I couldn't walk tall, which might laugh and think, well, you're never going to walk tall because you're only short. I couldn't walk with a straight back. My shoulders were slumped. I couldn't look at people in the eyes. I certainly couldn't look at God in the eyes. And my head was always bowed. That's the way that I saw myself, still in my guilt, my shame, and my condemnation. Now, I'm not saying that when we do things that are wrong, there are no consequences. There are. You need to hear me right on it. But we need to ask God to enable us to deal with those. So, the question really that I feel God is saying for us all today is, do we have any struggles with guilt, condemnation, or shame? Because they are very, very powerful emotions. Guilt, it's how we feel about the things that we have done that are wrong. Guilt is a normal, honest response of our conscience. Guilt by itself is not a bad thing because it can turn us around. It can go from going in a wrong path and doing something that's not right. It can turn us around so that we're sorry and we go in the other way, which is what repentance is all about. I was going that way and now I've turned around and I'm going that way. So feeling bad about something isn't necessarily a bad thing until the enemy hijacks it and you get in this prison of guilt. Shame is how we feel about ourselves or how we see ourselves because of the wrongs we have done or because of something someone else has done to us, something that's happened to us. So shame can be really apparent in any sort of abuse, particularly sexual abuse. Shame clouds our countenance and it makes us want to hang our head and hide ourselves from God and from people. And often we can have things in our lives that we are ashamed of and we try to hide them. We try and keep them hidden. We try and keep them secret. And that causes us to isolate and to withdraw and we get deeper and deeper into the torment that that brings. We have a fear of exposure, a fear of being found out. What will people know if they knew what I'm really like? And then fear of rejection and all of those things. Condemnation is the accusing voice of the enemy telling us how bad we've been and how unworthy we are. It's very different from conviction. The Holy Spirit brings us conviction. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us will point out when we're doing something that is not the best for us or for someone else. Then we have a choice whether we change or whether we pursue it. God always wants to bring us into life and freedom, but condemnation wants to bring us into death. It tells us how bad we are. It tells us we are unworthy, that we don't deserve God's love or grace. So we need to acknowledge that we have an enemy who wants to keep us chained to our past. And he'll do it by deceiving us that we are beyond forgiveness and that we need to stay in the circumstances that life has brought upon us. And he uses familiar spirits, which are those whispers in your mind, those little things that go, ning, 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 you're useless, you're no good. All those things that I talked about with me, they plague us and they are individual to us and they will discount us from God's love and from our destiny. So forgiveness, as we come to God in the first place, we experience God's forgiveness. God cancels our debt and then we enter a journey where we need to work through where we have been damaged, where people have caused us hurt and pain. And we release forgiveness and cancel their debts so that we can come into emotional wholeness. But the really important thing is sometimes we need to do this for ourselves. We need to acknowledge where we've been, what we've done, what's happened, and we need to forgive ourselves. Quite frankly, when I look back, the energy that it used to take in my torment to deal with all these lies that were coming at me was exhausting. Punishing myself, excluding myself, discounting myself. It is exhausting. Every bit of energy we give to negative activities and dwelling in regret robs us of the energy we have to become the person God wants us to be. It's a verse in Isaiah 43:25. It says, so let's get this clear. It's for my own sake that I save you. I am he who wipes the slate clean and erases your wrongdoing. I will not call to mind your sins anymore. That's what God says about us. God says that to each and every one of us, that when we come to him, we can experience that. It's true anyway, because Jesus dealt with all of every sin, everything Jesus dealt with on the cross. But when we come into a realization of that, we can take hold of that, that God does not call to mind my sins anymore. It says he throws them as far as the east is from the west and down into the sea. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I could quote that verse at anybody, but I didn't know it on the inside because I still felt it. But that's the truth. There is no condemnation from God. Isaiah 6:17, instead of your shame, Isaiah 61:7, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. How incredible is that? That's dealt with guilt, condemnation, and shame. God deals with it. And I've got a glamorous assistant who's going to come up and join me now. And this is what it's like when we live in the results of guilt, condemnation, and shame. We wear them like dirty, filthy rags. I know it's not very dirty and filthy, but it is a heavy, for those of you who are listening and not seeing, it's a heavy, black, dark dressing gown. Just imagine it's really heavy and filthy and stinky. Thank you, Joe. Oh, no, sit here. Can you get her a chair? Can you move a chair? Thank you. This is what we're like. We're under. We're heavy. We carry stuff that is not ours to carry. Now, where have we gone? Sometimes that's how we feel about ourselves. Can't look up, can't head held high, shoulders bowed. Forgiving ourselves does not let ourselves off the hook. We really need to understand that. It does not justify what we've done, and it's not a sign of weakness. Forgiveness is a choice that takes courage and strength. It gives us the opportunity to become overcomers, to live in victory rather than products of our past. Galatians 5:11 says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery upon you. Don't let your past behavior define you. Let God define you. We have a choice in this, to stay where we are or to move forward. The enemy, Satan, Lucifer, whoever you want to call him, we have an enemy who wants to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring us life and life in abundance. But the enemy will do anything to keep us from believing that and to keep us chained to our past. Classically, guilt, shame, and condemnation. It will rob you of who you are. You will not receive your full identity. What God says about you, you will not fulfill your destiny. I am a testimony to that. I couldn't see anything beyond where I was until God set me free. Now, we've looked recently, a couple of weeks ago, we did a court case here. There is something called a court of accusation, which is a spiritual place where accusations come and where we can see accusations broken off us by through what Jesus did on the cross. Now, I'm going to read you some verses about exactly what happened in that court. It's Zechariah, and it says, Joshua, the high priest, was standing in front of the eternal special messenger who was presiding over a heavenly council meeting. Standing to Joshua's right was one called the accuser, Satan, accuser. He was ready to argue that Joshua was unworthy to serve as the high priest. The eternal one said to the accuser, I am reprimanding you, accuser. I, the Eternal One, have chosen Jerusalem as my own, saved her from my fiery wrath, as if she were a wooden poker just pulled from destruction in a fire. Joshua stood motionless before the Eternal's messenger, still dressed in filth-covered clothes, as if recently returned from captivity. Special messenger of the Eternal, an angel, I guess, said to the other council members, "Remove the filth-covered clothes from this man." Oh, keep your hat on. To Joshua, "Just as I have taken away your dirty clothes, I have taken away your guilt from you. In place of those clothes, I will dress you in pure, expensive garments." Then you will be ready to serve God and lead the festival. To the Eternal special messenger, "Your fellow council members should put a pure turban befitting of the high priest on your head." We thought this was cute because it's all bright and colourful. "It will indicate his dignity." So they placed a pure turban on his head and they finished dressing him in his new clothes while the Eternal special messenger stood by supervising the cleansing. Joshua could now safely approach God. How incredible is that? That is for all of us. We have an accuser. We have been alienated by our lack of identity from God, but Jesus sorted all of that out. We do not need to stay and live in filthy rags. We have been given new clothes. Good job. Good job. So in that vision, which it was vision, Joshua saw a heavenly court. He, the high priest, he was on trial. He was charged with impurity and he was accused of being unfit. But God sorted it all out and changed his clothes and put on new clothes. So there are some things that have to be nailed for the cross once and for all. And there are things that have been done, and we've talked about forgiveness and God's love and all of those things. But sometimes we need to make a decision in ourselves. Am I going to deal with this rubbish once and for all? Am I going to continue to wear these old filthy raggy clothes, or am I going to actually put on and see myself as God sees me through what Jesus did for me? So what we need to be is open. Are there things in our lives that we are still carrying? Are there pains and wounds? And we may need some deep healing on the inside of these, but Jesus is our healer. And we can invite him in to do that. Last week when we were worshipping, I had a picture of a bird cage and the cage being opened. But unless the bird flies out, it's still trapped. It's still in prison. And we can have truth. We can hear truth. We can have revelation of truth. But unless we apply it to our lives, we still remain a prisoner and we still remain in captivity. So this morning, now, what we're going to do is we are going to do an activation where we are going to take off our shame, our guilt, and our condemnation, because we don't need it anymore. If you feel that you are still in the middle of some stuff, maybe you've done some things and you're like, yeah, but they're still, I haven't dealt with that yet. I just want to tell you, ask God to forgive you and apply it to yourself, because you are already actually forgiven. But until we apply these truths to ourselves, we don't live in the good of them. We are like that caged bird. The door's open. We need to go free. So it may be that you need to forgive some people that have caused you to feel shame. It may be you need to get rid of your guilt or condemnation. I don't know. I trust that God will take us on a journey this morning. Are we up for that? I don't think we've got any music, have we? Oh, star. Thanks. Yeah, that's fine. So what I just want us to do now is, if we don't know God, if we've never had an experience of God, we have a door on the inside of us. We can open that door and Jesus is standing on the other side And I just want to encourage you, you don't have to pray a prayer of 15 points. You don't have to do anything. God is ready to embrace you. So I just encourage us now, as we just focus, as the music comes on in a minute. Just close our eyes and just focus now. And on the inside of us, we have a door, and the handle is on our side. And God is inviting us this morning to open that door. On the other side of that door is God, who is love, he is light, and he just wants to embrace us. So Father, we thank you that you love us, that we can come into your presence through Jesus. We open that door and we step into the light right now. Now Jesus is there. He's smiling, which may be difficult right now for us to receive. But I want you to see yourself standing before Jesus. If you are standing there in filthy rags, or with a filthy turban, or just your shoulders bowed and your head bowed low, allow Jesus to remove those filthy garments, to take away your guilt, condemnation, shame. If you have deep wounds, allow him to embrace you and let the pain go. And just allow him to place on your new robes, robes of righteousness, purity, freedom. If you are carrying wounds, let Jesus have them. Look at his hands, where he was pierced for us, where he carried our pain. This can be a place of exchange, where we can give Jesus all of those things that have negatively affected us, the way that we've seen ourselves, the way that others have caused us to feel. And we can exchange it for hope, for love, for peace, for value, for worth. I know this may be difficult for some of us, but stand up. Stand tall with your shoulders high in your new robes. And allow Jesus to tilt your chin upwards so that you can look into eyes of love. Because that's who you are. Let Jesus affirm you. He wants to give you a new name rather than rejected or worthless, of no value. However it is you've seen yourself, Jesus wants to whisper in your ear and give you a new name that demonstrates how he sees you, how God feels about you. Okay, we can continue this as the morning goes on. For some, I know it's really helpful to write things down and nail them and pin them to the cross. Please continue to do that. I just want to give you the end of my story in a sense of how that worked out. And sometime later after all of this, and we were in a session one day and we were asking God to give us a new name to replace the way that we saw ourselves. And I was really frustrated because I couldn't hear anything and God didn't speak to me and he wasn't giving me a new name. And I was really cross and frustrated and blah, blah, blah. And God said, I already gave you a new name. Well, I don't know what it is. He said, I gave you a new name. I said, well, what is it then? And he said to me, sought after. And I thought about it and I'm like, he pursued me relentlessly. He sought after me. He never gave up on me all the time when I pushed him away, when I didn't want him. And I'm like, yep, yeah, I'll take that one. So even if you don't hear today a new name from God, although I believe he wants to give new names today, then pursue that. Because God has a name that will impact you deep on the inside. It changed my life when I caught that name. Sought after. That's how much God loved me. I'm one of his favourites. But so are you.
I actually want to say something about that because I had that on my heart too. I think, you know, with Deb's story, I think it was really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it just shows the impact of negative experiences in our life. And it just kind of became so visual for me again to see that rope. And sometimes I think we really need to identify with that negative experience because I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of times negative experience, I just push that down. You know, it's like, oh, it just feels bad. I don't want to feel it. But sometimes we need to really get in touch with it and allow ourselves to feel the pain, the shame, the guilt, and so that God can actually set us free. And so I would really, yeah, challenge us to put on maybe even the robe, the dark robe, the whatever that means to you, to just kind of like saying, you know what, I really want to deal with this. I really want to get rid of this. And then maybe just put on the new robe that God gives you. Because through that, I think spiritually something happens, that he can really give you that amazing experience, just like Deb shared. And I just felt like God's just inviting us again. It's like, wow, I really, really want to love on you. And so I just wanted to add that to it.